This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And again, we'd like for you to show your support for WRKF for this hour of programming by contributing, if you can, as much as you can. Any contribution is acceptable. 855-893-9753. 855-893-9753. That is your number. We have two gentlemen of erudition joining us to discuss what's going on in our world, LSU Shreveport political scientist Jeff Sado, and also Mike Wolf, the godfather of the Libertarian Party in Louisiana, a prominent attorney. They both have been with us, and it's been a while, I think, since they've been on together. But it is an interesting world, and we'll start with what's happening on the national scale. Today, the New York Times continues to analyze what happened with the release of the Mueller report. And when we say release, it was released to essentially one man, the Attorney General William Barr, who, as we know, had a statement before he became Attorney General that he thought the president could not be indicted. And ultimately, in his review of the Mueller report, he said the president could not be indicted for obstruction of justice, in his view. And Mueller, according to William Barr, says that there was no proof of collusion involving Trump and his campaign and the Russian government. Today, Peter Baker of the New York Times puts it, after Watergate, it was unthinkable that a president would fire an FBI director who was investigating him or his associates, or force out an attorney general for failing to protect him from an investigation, or dangle pardons before potential witnesses against him. But the end of the inquiry by the special counsel Robert S. Mueller III made clear that President Trump had successfully thrown out the unwritten rules that had bound other chief executives in the 45 years since President Nixon resigned under fire, effectively expanding presidential power in a dramatic way. Jeff Sado, how do you see this? Is this a clear victory for the president, or is it murkier than first thought?
No, it's a clear victory for the president. I expect that the report's going to be released widely, and when people go through the details, I think that's what they're going to find out. I mean, that's the description we've gotten from anybody who's familiar with what was going on with it. And it was highly far fetched, all this idea of Trump colluding with Russia, and it's just for a couple of years we've gone through this. People that really were, I think, looking at it in an impartial, objective way, not through a partisan lens, all along expected something like this to happen. This being the conclusion, and that seems to what have happened.
Mike Wolf, do you see it differently than does Professor Sado?
Only slightly. It was an investigation to see if there was any collusion with Russia in the 2016 campaign, and it always seemed to be a stretch to me, as to Mr. Sado, but and the result is revealed. They didn't find any evidence of it, but I think it's a little strange to call it a victory because it was just supposed to be an objective investigation.
Well, as one pundit put it, President, as we know, publicly asked for Russia to help him with the emails. The Russians, we know, were involved in interfering with the election. It is apparent the president benefited from it, and the president has taken steps to assist the government of Vladimir Putin. So if that's not collusion, what is it?
Well, the question was collusion with regard to the election. Obviously, he has common interest with Vladimir Putin, and there's nothing inappropriate about that in general, as the common interest being peace, the main one. But I just think too much is made of it, of a very particular kind, on all sides of the political arguments. It was appropriate to conduct an investigation. It's been done. I don't think great hay should be made by either partisan side about it.
Jeff Sado, there are other investigations ongoing involving the president's finances in New York on his former home turf, his native land. And some believe that he's much more vulnerable there. But in light of this, with much of the attention the last 2 years being on the, quote, Mueller report, is the president now perhaps immune to any real scrutiny without it appearing to be a witch hunt by his opponents?
No. His opponents, which principally are Democrats, in this instance elected Democrats, they're going to do whatever they're going to do with this, regardless of what they think that others may think about it, because they think this is a path towards victory in 2020, defeating Trump, as well as potentially gaining control of both houses of Congress. They're all in on this. This is their strategy, is to criticize, is to try to find a way to delegitimize Trump's election. So in that sense, he's not immune at all. They're going to do regardless of what others may think. This is their strategy. You can expect more of these kinds of tactics.
877-217-5757 is your number. You can send us an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. Jeff Satto, the noted professor of political science at LSU Shreveport. He's been there almost 30 years. And Mike Wolf, who's been involved with the Libertarian Party in Louisiana for well over 30 years. Now, Mike Wolf, you have consistently supported candidates for president in your own party, and you, like everybody else, knows that it's very difficult, maybe impossible, for a third-party candidate to win an election, but certainly a third-party candidate can affect an election for president of the United States. How do you see 2020 evolving? Is the Republican Party essentially the party of Trump, and the Democrats are kind of vainly scrambling to find somebody who can beat him? And there are some candidates, as we know, who are ramping up as potential third-party aspirants. How do you see it?
Well, the biggest question, of course, is whether Trump will survive, whether he will continue to be president. I fervently hope that he'll be defeated, but I'm worried that the Democrats are determined to reelect him by nominating someone who's too far to the left, an extremist of a Democratic Party kind. And it reminds me of this distortion by Republicans and Democrats of the political issues of the day that we were just talking about. For example, Trump will continue to say this was a witch hunt, the investigation was pointless, and try to make hay out of that. The Democrats will continue to say the election was stolen from them and use these elements of truth to that in a greatly distorted way to claim that Trump's election was illegitimate. But the fact is that the Democrats could not convince the voters to vote for Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. And so for the 2020, the big problem is to see if the Democrats can elect somebody, can nominate someone that will convince the voters he's better than Trump. And the third parties hopefully can get involved to shake up this two-party system, and there's a lot to go into there, but that's
all right. Well, Jeff Satto, Morgan in Mandeville, and I think he's right. He says the Mueller report probably means that there will be no intra-party challenge of Donald Trump of note. There were reports that some people might be thinking about running against him, but until further notice, is the Republican Party the party of President Trump?
At the presidential level, sure. I mean, he's a sitting president, there's not going to be any real challenge. There's some, like John Kasich said that he may try to do something again. That would be more for ego's sake than anything else. I think in a realistic sense, Trump is not going to be challenged within a Republican Party.
877-217-5757 is your number, and we will take a short break for the news and return with Jeff Satto and Mike Wolf and get their take on national and local politics. Ralph Abraham has released a poll showing him within 11 points of John Bel Edwards. We'll talk about that. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Again, your number to show your support for WRKF, and we only do this a few times a year. This is Spring Member Fest. The number is 855-893-9753, and for $40 a month, you can get two tickets any day to the Jazz Fest, except for May 2nd, the day the Rolling Stones are playing. You'll also get two WRKF Black Folding Festival chairs, 855-893-9753. Your number for our show, another segment with Jeff Satto and Mike Wolf, is 877-217-5757. Barry in Mid-City. Good morning, Barry. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Barry.
Yeah, good morning, and to your guests, I really appreciate each of your points of view. Good show. Jim, I'd like to ask if the arrival of the Internet age, social media, and so forth, in your guest views, contributes to this polarization in our country, please.
All right. Jeff Satto, let's start with you on that. The World Wide Web contributing to the polarization in the world and in our country?
Well, there's as part of a broader trend with information and dissemination of information as well. It is much more widely available. People, not only a greater breadth of information, but also greater access. Political scientists, we study this phenomenon that a caller identified called partisan polarization or ideological polarization, and that's one of several things that we think has made for a more sharply divided electorate, not just here in America, but in countries worldwide.
Mike Wolf, what about the Internet age? What do you think?
Well, it's got a great potential for increasing polarization. One of the interesting things about this Russia investigation, of course, is that the Russians have been accused by the Democrats of causing Trump to win by putting out disinformation over the Internet and convincing gullible people to believe in it. But I haven't seen a careful analysis of the substance of those Russian advertisements. And for the most part, I think they were highlighting news events that would tend to shed favorable light on one party or the other. But I don't see that they were different in kind from the sort of information being spread everywhere on the Internet by the Democrats and the Republicans. So you have to realize, of course, that the Internet is a great opportunity. People can learn more, gain more actual information more easily than they ever could before. But at the same time, they can be given false information, disinformation, they can be misled by half-truths and so forth. So it's a burden and an opportunity. So I wouldn't call it just a cause of threat to increased polarization, but it is a challenge.
Why do you think the Russians wanted Donald Trump to win?
Oh, well, obviously, because Trump likes authoritarians. He's, he wants to build a hotel in Moscow. All kinds of reasons. He might favor them. He might take stands that they would appreciate. He wouldn't maybe object to their holding Crimea or whatever, all these kinds of issues we have. I don't know. That's speculation. I'm sure all the Democrats and those who oppose Trump were hoping that Mueller's investigation would reveal compromising facts that show Trump beholden to the Russians.
Well, Trump, of course, fancies himself as a tough guy, and you can look at him and see he's really not a tough guy physically. He's hardly physically imposing, but he's apparently not a tough guy when it comes, as you say, to dealing with these tyrants. So whether it's Putin, whether it's the Saudi Arabian prince, whether it's Kim Jong-un, Jeff Satto, he seems to like these people who were kind of shady figures on the world scene.
Well, it's kind of an interesting way of looking at it. You could argue that President Obama liked people like that as well from some of the
negotiations. Do you think he cozied up to Putin and the Saudi prince and Kim Jong-un?
To Iran.
He did not do that.
To the mullahs in Iran, for one thing. We can talk about that deal another time. But, Trump, I think, fancies himself as a negotiator, and he written a whole book about it, and so he thinks that with these rather difficult individuals, I think he's got a view that he can come in and use his superior bargaining skills to turn around and get good deals for America. So, I don't think it's really anything to do with admiring authoritarianism. I think it's more, if we want to look at it in terms of ego, I think it's more his thinking that he can wring good deals out of these people when nobody else could.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. I kind of think that that we should not impeach, that the president should not be impeached. I mean, I think it would be to come to a vote with the next presidential election. If Trump was impeached, then we'd have Mike Pence as the president, and I think he'd have a better chance of winning an election than Trump would, so we would not have to run against him as president.
All right. Is impeachment off the table, Mike, in light of the Mueller report?
No, I don't think, not for the radical anti-Trumpers in the Democratic Party. But there are many reasons to impeach Trump besides the Mueller report. And we haven't seen the rest of it. It's quite possible that he did engage in obstruction of justice. But I think there are many grounds for impeachment. He should be impeached for wanting to execute drug dealers.
All right. Well, what about a question posed by this is Joe downtown asking whether the Mueller report will be released. Should it be released? Jeff Sato?
Yeah, sure. I think it's going to be released. The White House itself has said it has no objections to that. Sure. Again, there may be a little information here or there that may have to be redacted for national security reasons or something related to that, but yeah, I think most, if not its entirety, is going to end up being released.
Mike?
Yes, I agree. It's going to get out. But, again, there are all kinds of reasons why Trump is inadequate. You didn't mention Duterte, Rodrigo Duterte, who's still trying to, kill people whenever he doesn't like and so forth.
Well, here in Louisiana, we have a governor's election, and, of course, we have a congressman running who is right now the Republican front runner, Ralph Abraham, who is very close to the president as far as his support for Donald Trump. And we have John Bel Edwards, who was the only Democrat to attend the state dinner when the president threw one last year. So I don't know how much of a factor the president will be in the governor's race, but Jeff Sato, my guess is that based on the fact that Donald Trump asked John Bel Edwards to switch parties and he declined, the president will be down here campaigning against the governor of Louisiana. And the president, if polls are right, remains popular in Louisiana. He might actually help Ralph Abraham or a Republican who may emerge from the pack, Eddie Rasponi or somebody else.
Yeah, I expect that if the campaign asks either one of them, although I don't know with Trump, he may just decide to show up anyway, uninvited, so to speak. That's probably going to happen, and it's going to be a benefit to whoever that campaign candidate is. Again, Trump received almost 60% of the vote in the state last time out, and he continues to poll well. So I fully expect that to happen.
Well, he received more votes than John Bel Edwards and David Vitter put together, and by a pretty big margin when you combine Vitter and Edwards. So he is the all-time vote-getter in the state of Louisiana, and Donald John Trump shows no signs of being vulnerable in his reelection quest in our state. But the governor's race, even a Republican like Roy Fletcher the other day, Jeff Sato, said there's a 75% chance of reelection for John Bel Edwards. You've been no fan of the governor. How do you see it?
Yeah. No, that's wildly optimistic. You look at the numbers, and even this latest poll, which is the first I think we've seen for a couple of months now on the race, and again, the numbers are not that encouraging for Edwards. He still can't get over 50% in any of the key metrics, such as reelect or head-to-head against either opponent. I've said all along, and I don't see any reason to change this as a result of the numbers of this poll, At this point, it's 50-50.
50-50, he says, John Bel Edwards' reelect possibilities. Pat in Denham Springs. Hello, Pat. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I wanted to go back one step to your Mueller report and Trump. The thing that concerns me most, taking Trump as himself, and that's a disturbing thing, but his ability to have other people believe that what they're doing is in their interest, while their interest is not necessarily his interest. And I think that's the most dangerous part. And you see that, for example, the Senate is packing the country, the courts, with largely unqualified judges who have the philosophy of what the senators, I believe, think they're getting is.
All right, Mike, your response to Pat. Thank you, Pat.
I think she raises important issues. It's hard to speak with a broad brush, though, about judicial nominees. I certainly question a lot of Trump's nominees, but the ones that he's put on the Supreme Court are qualified people. And so it's just very hard to unscramble that.
Dan, downtown. Dan, please be brief.
Yes. If Trump does come to Louisiana to campaign against Governor Edwards, should he be forced to show what health care plan will take the place of Obamacare?
All right. That's going to be a major issue, perhaps the biggest issue. What's the future of the Affordable Care Act, now 9 years old? And we'll be talking about that. And we thank Mike Wolf and Jeff Sado for joining us. We'll switch gears and return with more Talk Louisiana after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. There's Matt Doyle playing the theme from The Fugitive. David Jansen, remember him? He was born on this date in 1930. He's been dead a long time, died at 49, but he was a doctor on the run, a wrongly charged man. Mike Wolf's probably represented a few men like David Jansen. But Donald Trump says he was wrongly charged. He now has the Mueller report as ammunition for his case, it appears, although right now we only have the Barr report, which is 4 pages long. The Mueller report hopefully will be released to the American people, but let's see what happens. But did want to reflect on the question that was posed by Dan as we went to the break about health care. Will that resurface as a major issue, Jeff Sado, in 2020?
Yeah, I think it's still going to be on the table. Obviously, Republicans have tried to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and so yeah, I mean that's going to be defense of the act or Republican attempts to get rid of it. That's going to be a campaign issue.
All right, and Mike.
Well, yes, and it should be very much, and that's a state issue as well as a federal issue. So that's really the nuts and bolts of what the campaign should be about.
Thank you, gentlemen.